Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, I've been in this sport a long time, and you hear about weight cuts, you see fighters going through tremendous agony and different aspects of a cut on social media, and it makes you wonder, you know, is it truly all worth it? Well, I sat back and I thought about it, and I came to the assumption that after 20 years of watching this, it most certainly is, but the way you go about it in life is the road that either defines it as being a horrible cut, or if you take the other path, you realize that you can truly be where your natural body weight is if you truly just stay on point from the get-go. With that being said, a gentleman that is a nutritionist, a strength and conditioning coach, and one that is actually gaining momentum in the sport, moving into the forefront, that being Coach Doug Casebyer, you know, I felt it was a relevant issue. I thought it was a pertinent show that I needed to do. So with that being said, welcome, Coach Doug, to the program. Coach Doug, how you doing?
I'm good, my friend. It's always nice to talk to you.
Oh, most definitely. You know, we look at some of these issues that are perplexed. We'll get in different angles on the show, but you look at some of these issues that are perplexed with other fighters making cuts and trying to, you know, struggle and get that last 12, 15 pounds off, you know, right before a fight. In the mind of Coach Doug Casebyer, you know, what is the path that you like to lead your fighters down preparing for these cuts so there is no last minute having to lose 10, 15 pounds, you know, aspect in the cut?
Oh, man. You know, that's what I really want to talk about today. And, you know, after doing this as long as I have, and not just in MMA, whether it's bodybuilding, you know, football, you know, it doesn't make any difference. It's boxing, wrestlers. The only difference is when you get to wrestling, you get to boxing, and you get to mixed martial arts, you don't just have to be at a weight. You don't just have to look a certain way. You have to actually now perform after that. So there's no just cutting weight to look pretty on stage. There's actually that moment, oh, now I have to go and do something with this. You know, and that's where I think MMA is still evolving, you know, and slowly but surely getting away from the wrestling cuts and different things like that. And I think most importantly that we're very blessed with now is we have the new UFC Institute, who has a guy there named Clint Wattenberg, who is doing all these tests and for nutrition and doing all these great things, you know. And my client and friend Aslan Ladd was just there, and he put her through all these tests, and she came back and she had all these numbers of calories she should be eating, and she has all that stuff, you know. And for all of us nutritionists all over the world, we look at that information and we go, wow, now we can really help them even more, you know. So I feel really blessed that Max and Marianne and all these different people have that. But as far as me goes, what in a perfect world for me, I got to tell you, and this is a conversation that could take us 3 hours, okay? So I'll try to keep it short. I take a look at an athlete, and I'll give you an example. Let's just use Aslan Ladd, because everybody knows who Aslan Ladd is. She knows I care a lot about her. She's a good friend. And maybe we'll use Max Griffin as well, and Fluffy and Yaya. But when I met Aslan, I knew I'd had time. We had a plan to make her a bigger, stronger, faster fighter. And at the time, she was a 125-pound fighter, but she only had 116 pounds of muscle on her. We went to work, and she in the gym, she was just a machine, a monster. And we began to build, then fast twitch, then build, then fast twitch and cardio. And we were constantly putting things together just in case she had a fight around the corner that all of a sudden was going to happen. But everything that we did, that we built, we did it for MMA, not just to do a bicep curl because it's cool, not just to do a deadlift because it's cool because John Jones does it. I don't care about that stuff. And you got to take a look at the athlete that's doing it. How is this person built? Are they built for power, for speed, or are they athletic? Aslan Ladd is built for power. That's how it is. She controls. As soon as she gets a hold of you, she's going to control you. So it's my job to take her and build, build, build. So we took her from 116 pounds of muscle to 139 pounds of muscle. And we took her to the 135-pound bracket. And that took quite some time. So my favorite thing to do is to say, eat this many calories a day. You know, eat just like this. If you do that, because this is your job to do it, if you do it, you can expect to get these kinds of results. So by asking me what I like to do with people, I want to take them from scratch, break their body down, and say, this is where we need to go with your physique, and we're going to do it for this many months, because at this time, about 6 weeks out, we need to turn all those new muscle fibers into speed. You don't want to go into a fight and have just lifted heavy weights and then do a fight. You're in big trouble if you do that. You know, we've seen too many fighters go in there big and bulky, and they maybe have 2 minutes in them. You know, it doesn't matter how big you are. It's just conditioning that big muscle. So that's what I like to do. I like to go in and find out what the most amount of weight that we can put on a fighter, and then turn that into speed and conditioning. That's my favorite thing to do. Unfortunately, a lot of times I don't get to do that. I really don't. You know, people have their own way that they want to do it, and as their condition and nutrition guy, I sometimes have to listen to the way they want to do it too. I don't want to lift weights. I just want to get cardio in like a fighter. And I go, okay, do I agree with it? No, I think you need to do this. But if they're not going to do it, hey, man, it's their life, not mine. You know, so I want to help them create the life that they want to have.
Okay, you know, and I appreciate that, and I feel what you're saying. You know, being that I have been in the sport a long time, I'm going to kind of ask you, you know, a hard question. You know, it's the way my show rolls, you know. It's all different angles, and it's pure fact. You know, you look at the sport, and I'm glad I got you on here because we can clarify this question and my thought. You know, I see a lot of fighters that get nutritionists, they get, you know, what they feel is on the right path. And then when it comes time for them to make that cut because they want to fight at a lesser weight, there isn't that mass there for them to cut. And some say, in certain aspects, that their nutritionist or their, you know, strength and conditioning has taken their mass, let's say, down to a point that they don't have any more to cut. Therefore, it causes injury to some of the body organs. What is the true aspect or true thought in that perception?
Well, when it comes to, let's say it's fight week, and we got to cut 10 pounds. In a perfect world, we're just going to assume their liver is healthy, their kidney is healthy, their heart and lung pulmonary system is healthy. They don't have any form of thing like cancer going on in their body. There's nothing bad going on there. So I'm expecting that this well-conditioned athlete is also going to become a machine for fight week. And every time you tell them to drink this much water, to eat this kind of food, all I ever want to hear is yes, sir. That's all I ever want to hear. And if they'll just do it like this, it's going to turn out really good and probably pretty easy to do. You know, at least it looks easy from my point of view. So there's probably not so much. I don't know. But for me, a perfect world is trying your best. You know, and I've had a lot of clients in the bodybuilding world and MMA, wrestling, that I can have a 145-pound fighter eating 4,800 calories a day because they train three times a day or they eat more. If they're going to train one time a day, they might eat 3,200 calories a day, so forth and so on. And then there's the ones that are actually really not following the diet at all. They're just not doing it, you know, and it's really obvious to tell. It really is. As a nutritionist, you can see it from a mile away if people are doing what you want them to do. And so sometimes when you hear about most nutritionists like myself like to take their body fat down lower, because if I take their body fat down lower, I can raise the amount of muscle they carry on their body. It can do nice little transfer. We're going to get rid of this fat. We're going to gain this much muscle. And if I could do that nice and slowly, keep them nutritionally really high, if I can keep their water up, I know that they're going to be a healthy person. And then finally, during that fight week, Saturday to Sunday, we begin carbing up. We begin water loading, 2 to 2.25 gallons of water. And there's a reason why we do that. There's this new thing, let's just call it a new thing, called aldosterone, okay? It's a hormone produced by the adrenal glands, and its job is to downregulate sodium, kidneys, and sweat glands and saliva. And it's one of the reasons why when you drink all that water, you can flush all that water. And our goal is to keep the vasopressin under control, or the arginine vasopressin, which tells you you can't cut water. So we want really badly to make sure we water load, and probably during fight week, drop our carbs for the first time anywhere between 25 to 50 grams a day, depending upon how big or small you are, how big or small you are as far as muscle goes. So there's a lot to think about for the fighter, but for me, if the fighter could just do these numbers that we give you, it's really not that bad. You know, it really isn't. My fighters usually only drop 4 to 5 pounds of water. That's it. You know, and they end up putting, like Aston will put on 25 pounds of water by fight time. You know, so in a perfect world, if I was to say, keep your calories as high as you possibly can until fight week, and then finally begin to cut out some of the starches and fruits and things like that. Start raising your fats, eat your vegetables, drink all your water, start lowering your water during the week. And because you've downregulated your vasopressin, you should have no problem with constantly visiting the bathroom every 20 minutes, constantly. I mean, you could be wanting to start your weight cut at 140. You'll drink 2 gallons of water, and all of a sudden you're 150-something pounds, but by the next day you've dropped 4, 5, 6 of that, okay? So you really want to let the water do its job. Am I sounding too nerdy?
No, you're fine.
Okay. I know I ramble sometimes. I don't know if I ever make sense. Don, what I'm getting at... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say go ahead.
So basically, in a perfect world for me, sir, you know, you want to be, when you're a 135-pound fighter, you should be consuming 32 to 4,300 calories a day, depending upon how often you're working. Now, in a perfect world, will they do that? Probably not, because most of the time, fighters, fitness models, bodybuilders are afraid of what? They're afraid they're going to get fat. So that's always been my dilemma as a nutritionist, is to get them to understand and trust that it's going to be okay. And sometimes you get fighters that will be like, hey, I want to eat all that food. I have no problem eating that food. Bigger, they get stronger, they get faster. And then some people act like they're doing it, and they have great practices, but it's not quite the practices they could have had if they were more energetic. You know, I'll give you another example. Now that we have Clint Wattenberg over at the UFC facility giving up these calorie counts to the fighters, you know, he's giving them out kind of like in a pie chart where it says eat this many calories of protein, this many calories of carbs, this much fat. That's a complete gift to the fighters, as long as they take it and they show it to their nutritionist. You know, because I can take that and go, okay, there's your numbers. What are you going to eat with that? You know, you don't want to just go, well, if I have pizza, it can match my carbohydrates. You know, so you don't want to do that. You know, I can have cookies and it could match, or I can have an acai bowl and it could match. You know, your body needs to know you're eating real food. You know, if you're not eating real food, it's going to function off not real food. You're not going to perform at a higher level. So that's always my hopes, that when you guys get these numbers, take and go to your professional, to your nutritionist, and say, tell me what this means in English. And that will really, really help, because Clint is doing a great job over there. You know, I've heard he's had over 20% of the UFC fighters already showing up. You know, and I don't know how he's going to get all 80% of the rest of them left, but I heard he's doing a great job.
Yes, you know, but you can see the relevance of my question, because, you know, in the last few years, there has been quite a few fighters that aren't making the cuts anymore. And you know, then the finger pointing gets started. They point it to everybody involved in their camp and things. And then, you know, my most relevant thought I've taken away, being a journalist and being part of the inner workings of the sport, is, you know, if you get to that cut and it comes time to cut and you have nothing to cut, what avenue does a nutritionalist take as fighter then?
Well, there's a couple of things you could do. You have water that needs to come from the kidneys, okay? You have water that comes from the endodermis and the epidermis. But when a fighter does not – I've had fighters that have water-loaded and then got rid of the water by running all the time. Now you're not water-loaded anymore because you've been running all the time. You know, that water is supposed to go in and down-regulate that vasopressin so you'll start releasing water and you won't hold water. But if they did not do that, best thing I can ever tell you is to throw that sauna suit on, man. Take a walk. Get the body warm. Get your hot bath ready. And lay in that hot bath and take it from your skin. Now, I pretty much have never had people do that. Never. It has a bad effect on the joints. Really, really bad, actually. There's other people that will take and they'll use distilled water. I've done distilled water before because it makes the cut easier sometimes, as long as you know what to do after you're done with the distilled water. Because distilled water goes in and it doesn't just take the sodium from your system to help you get rid of the water, it also takes all the extra vitamins as well. So now you're very malnutritioned. So you really want to be careful using distilled water. Make sure you're with a professional that knows how to put all that stuff back. So to answer your question, it's if you are at a place where the fighter looks at you and goes, I'm not sweating at all. Okay, get out of there. We're going to go run a bath. We're going to put you in the bath for about half an hour. It's going to be boiling hot. You will start sweating, you know, but you never want to get to that place. It's such an unhealthy place to be, you know. What I've run into, Don, a lot is I'd have to say 90% of the people that I work with now is they're really, really simple. You know, they trust me. They do exactly what I want. They start off with a 2,500 calorie roughly a day with a balance of carbs, fats, and proteins and vegetables and fibrous carbs, non-fibrous carbs in there. And then as the weeks go on, we take it to 3,000, to 3,200, to 3,500, to 4,000 calories a day. And they're still losing weight as you raise the carbs up. People tend to forget that carbs don't make you fat. Eating the carbs and doing nothing with them will make you fat. So carbs are energy. They're there to be utilized. They're not there to be sat on. So as long as I have a client that I know that's going to be active, I want to keep raising the food. Like, for example, Andrea Lee, I gave her a nutrition program last week, and she was parked between about 140 or something like that, 141. And she texts me Saturday. She said Friday she was 137, and she's eating more. And she should have been 138 yesterday. I haven't talked to her. Next week, I'm gonna take her down to probably 134 or 135, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise her calorie intake up. People tend to want to take calories away, and that's where the big mistake is for so many reasons. You know, you have to have the calorie intake to be able to perform.
I agree with you. You know, what has transpired in my thought, I mean, you've been in this business for 30 years. You've worked from you know, Major League Baseball to football to wrestling to mixed martial arts. What was that transitional period like for you, Coach Doug, going from all different aspects? And how hard is it for a nutritionist to truly keep each sport separated and each fighter in their individual platform, you know, up to point and on point?
It's actually kind of a, to be honest with you, I wanted to say it's easy, but it's really hard to do. Because when you have let's just say you have an NFL lineman that weighs 380 pounds, okay? Now, we're talking about a man that eats a cow a day, you know, and he's, I'll give you an example of a lineman. A lineman's output in 1 hour of doing plays over and over again is almost a 2,000 calorie burn. Every hour. The average human is probably about 500 calories an hour. So you take a look at that guy, and you got to imagine he's probably eating 8,500 to 10,000 calories a day. You know, and people might look at that and go, wow, how is that even possible? Well, you have to understand that he's working with 190 pounds of muscle, you know, or more, maybe even 350 pounds of muscle, whoever he is. He's got to constantly put that back. And now we got to build stamina on all that stuff. So, and then you got to keep the certain size on him. So you always want to think, okay, I'm going to give him a 7,000 calorie diet. He needs this much sugar and carbs to perform, and his muscles are going to uptake that if he eats his protein, because the carbohydrates follow the protein into the muscle. It's like a train. And when he's all done with that, he's going to finally have a little bit of fats that he's eaten that he can fall back on as well. And then he has to perform off all that stuff. Then he has to sleep on all that stuff. So going from that, let's say to an MMA fighter, now you're talking about a different thing, because you're talking about maybe a 145-pound fighter, for example. They might fight, I don't know, practice two times a day. So consider that 1,200 extra calories they need to take in right there. And let's say they already are eating a 2,000-calorie diet. So, you know, we're getting up into the 3,000 mark, you know, and you want to average them out at about 3,500 calories or higher, you know, especially if you're like, again, Aspen and Yaya and Fluffy and Max and Marion and Caitlin Chikagian, all these people are sometimes working 3, 4, 5 practices a day, you know, and some of them, they don't know how to stop. You have to make them go home, you know, and so that's one of the differences. And then you want to take into consideration performance. When they're lifting weights and they're in the off season and they're lifting and then power lifting and then all of a sudden sprinting, you have to know when it's time to switch them to fast twitch movements, more ladder drills, more fast twitch on the bags, more aggressive wrestling, more, you know, just more of that kind of stuff. And then you have to switch the diet to go with that. You know, it's not a kind of sort of thing. They need to be fueled for what they're doing. You know, and that's where I take a lot of pride in what I'm doing. You know, so I hope that answers the question, because they have nothing in common, to tell you the truth. They really don't.
Yeah, well, what I was getting at is, with all the facets to you, you know, with the mind, you know, the human mind, it's exceptional. So when you look at, you've got your hand in all different aspects of the sport and different genres, you know, I was just looking for a more, you know, defined answer of how you do what you do. How are you able to critique each sport and stay updated? You know, with 30 years of experience, you know, you've built a mass base of people that come to you for strength and conditioning and nutrition, and they all come from different variables. So when I look at life and what I do, when you add that many variables, it becomes complex. And so it boggles my mind how an individual can keep up to date on so many aspects. You know, that's one reason we wanted to have you on the show, was to show how things really work as a strength and conditioning coach and a nutritionalist. But, okay, let's put a hypothetical, you know, situation in front of you. Let's say you've got a 230-pound fighter. He walks around at 230, but he fights at 170. How hard is that for you to maintain and coincide with that fighter's lifestyle, with what you do as a nutritionist and strength and conditioning, if that fighter is dead set on walking around at 230 but fighting at 170? What do you tell them?
Well, first, I would let them know they're not going to get to walk around at 230 anymore. Taking a fighter and dropping 60 pounds on them is never fun. It's never going to be an easy thing. And I'm the kind of guy that will not let them do it at the last minute. I would just tell them to go to somebody else. I don't believe in doing that big 60-pound cut in 4 weeks. I'm not that guy. When I get a man like the biggest Max Griffin I think has ever been is 210, for example. And he's a 170-pound fighter. But I don't worry about Max, because when he gets to 210, we know he's going to get to 210, and we're building him to 210 for a reason. But at the same time, I know that Max has not gone over 178 pounds of muscle. I always test him. So if we're always in control, we see each other every morning at 7:30 in the morning, every day. And with Max, he can get the call and go, Coach, I got 8 weeks. Cool, because we're already ahead of the game, because as I've gotten him bigger, he's gotten stronger and faster too. So he's constantly ready for that phone call in a two-week time. So all I have to do now is go, okay, Max is one of those guys, Don, that if I hand him his 6,000-calorie diet, he's going to take it and it's going to be cooked by the next day. He's going to eat all the food and he's going to go, damn, Coach, cool, you lost what you're supposed to. Guess what we're going to do now? We're going to take you to 6,500 calories. Damn, Coach, I can't seem to keep weight on. Of course not, because it's energy. You're using your body. So that when we get him to the point where at 6,000, 6,500 calories or more, we can keep him there, and he will constantly be dropping to 190, 195, you know, 200, 199, 198, and then I'll plateau him off right there for at least 6 weeks. And he'll be like, we're just going to park right here. Yes, sir, you need the energy to keep practicing and getting better. I can't take all your food from you so you can't perform. And if you take too many calories from an extreme athlete, they will not drop weight. They won't. So you got to keep the sugar levels at a certain level. You got to keep the good fats in. You got to keep the good fiber going. They have to keep taking their vitamins. They have to do those things. And all the food that's running through their system has to match the workout that they're doing. This isn't a kind of sort of thing, you know, and as it gets closer, 4 weeks, maybe now, okay, Max, let's get to 178 and park right there. Cool, let's do it. I'll change his diet from being up in the 5,500 mark down to 3,800 calories, and boom, he's there, and I'll go, okay, we're going to stay here for 2 weeks until fight week, and boom, he's 170. You know, and we water load him. We keep the vasopressin under control. We keep the aldosterone down-regulated, and he just cuts water. If you watch Max during a weight cut, he's just out everywhere taking pictures with everybody. That's all he's doing. He's just having a good time. You know, and Max is the easiest weight cut I think I've ever had, because he's very much – he lets me have my lane, and he does his lane. And weight cuts
that's the way it should be.
That way.
Yeah, it should be.
I mean, if I had my way – We would cut weight on Monday, make weight, and we wouldn't fight till Saturday. You know, that would be my perfect world. Everybody's okay.
You know,
they're feeling good.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But you know, there's so many different questions going through my head, and I hope you don't mind me going different directions. But you know, I want you to. I run with my thought, you know, as I got started in boxing in the early days of my career. And one thing that I've always, you know, relished and loved about the thought of boxing is once you get weight in, you're only allowed to gain so much weight back before you fight, as you'll get weight in again. Now, there's talks about that coming over into the side of mixed martial arts where, you know, you can't be the 230-pound fighter cut to 170 and then blow up overnight. As a nutritionist, how do you feel about those guidelines wanting to be set into the sport of mixed martial arts, and what are your thoughts?
I love it. I love that. I'm a big fan of fight someone your own size. You know, when you have fighters that are all of a sudden, you know, like Yaya weighed in on her last fight at 155, her opponent was 167. You know, and at the end of the day, it didn't make any difference. Yaya beat her up anyways. But that girl was oddly large, you know. So yeah, all I kept thinking was, please, God, don't let that bitch get on top of you. You know, that's all I kept thinking. You know, and Yaya handled business no matter what. But I'm a big fan of that 10% rule, that you can only gain 10% back. And I feel like the people that don't like that rule don't like it because they want to get bigger and heavier. You know, but I've always thought of the bigger fighter being the one that actually carries the most muscle or the heavier bones in their body. Like I've heard Joe Rogan say a lot of times, well, this person's the bigger fighter, and I'm watching them going, no, that's the fatter fighter. The other one's the bigger fighter. And that's why the other one's ragdolling them. You know, so I like the 10% rule where you can only gain 10% back. I really do. And it's not going to be hard for our fighters to do at all. It really isn't.
Yes. Well, see, what's perplexed out here in the Midwest with a lot of our, you know, commissions is basically, and I've seen it happen to fighters in Legacy and several other promotions. If you miss weight, if you come in over your 1 pound, then for the next 6 months and possibly even a year, you're going to be forced to go up to the next weight. I think that's a fair assumption in this sport, because I think if you can't come in on point, it takes away from your professionalism as an athlete. Considering most athletes train 365, they don't have jobs. I mean, a lot of them do, but for the most part, it's the rarest form of professionalism is being a mixed martial artist warrior. And if you can't maintain that weight, then there's something wrong with your camp, there's something wrong with you, or you do need to actually move up to the next weight because you don't deserve to be fighting there. My next question for you, though, is how relevant is it to you as a strength and conditioning and nutritionalist to have coordination between the striking, the jiu-jitsu, the other aspects of training correlate with what you're teaching?
It means a lot, dude. It really does. On MMA Gold, we're very tight, and some of us communicate well together, and some of us don't see each other enough to communicate. But a lot of the fighters now have no problem coming up to me and saying, "Coach, just so you know, Mike guy just whooped my ass. I have nothing left in me." You know, and it's my job to either give them stretching exercises or tell them, go do this. Because at the end of the day, and whether I like this or not, they need the striking coach more than they need me. They really do. They need the wrestling more than they need me. They need to do jiu-jitsu more than they need to do me. You know, so the communication between coaches and athletes is probably the most crucial thing I think you can possibly talk about today. I have clients, fighters that communicate terribly. How are you feeling today? I'll be all right. Motherfucker, I know you're in pain. I just saw you. You know, but I'll be fine. You know, and they don't mind sometimes if they die as long as they can keep practicing. You know, that means everything to them. So communication is everything, but sometimes it's our job to say, go over there, lay down, stretch, and relax. You know, tomorrow, let's go over what we were going to do today. You know, so that's really important as well.
Yes. Now, when you look at what we just discussed, this is relevant in a lot of different aspects, and I think you'll appreciate it. You know, hopefully you do. You know, one thing I've noticed in some of the gyms, you know, across the country, and I'm not going to state names, is, you know, there is no correlation. You know, there is no, you know, everybody's on the same page. How much of a pertinent issue would you say that, you know, when you look at MMA Gold as a whole, you know, coaches, trainers, fighters, everybody, how relevant is it to you that there is no I or you in team?
On this team, it is purely team. This is a Dave Hirschbein / Jim West team, you know, and those are the people that are head coach and our manager. And all of us coaches, we all truly do care about each other. And they have no problem coming by and seeing what I'm doing with the fighters when I'm training them there. They have no problem. Coach Michael have no problem going, "You need to put some motherfucking strength on that boy. He's got nothing behind his punches." "Yes, sir." That's all he's going to get from me is yes, sir. Coach Mike does not mind me going up to him and saying, "Man, can you test this girl today? Can you see if she has any stamina in her hands?" And he'll tell me straight up, "Nope." And he'll look at me and say, "It's your fault. What are you going to do about it?" "I'm going to do everything I can." You know, we can't have an ego, you know, and we only want what's best for the fighter. That's all. You know, it's not about us. We're done fighting. You know, it's not about us. So, yeah, the communication's there. It's got to be.
You know, when you look at an individual that has been in the sport in so many aspects and has created recently, just, you know, some tremendous up-and-comers and worked with some of the best vets in the world. You know, when you sit back and you look at it from day one when you first got into the business, how much of a transition or change have you seen? And do you think there's much more the sport needs on the side of nutritionists? You know, I look at an individual by the name of Tyler Minton, who works out here in the Midwest. He works with James Krause and some Factory X fighters and some UFC fighters. And, you know, you hear about nutritionists popping up more and more. Do you think they're playing a more defined role in the sport and the creation of these warriors?
You know, that's probably my – you're probably talking about my favorite subject there. You know, I've been so blessed, Don, to be a part of nutrition and getting people in shape and different things for most of my life. You know, and I've got to see it when it was new, and I got to see it when it was old, and then I got to see MMA start, and all of a sudden it was new again. You know, and it right now, MMA, nutrition, and different things like that is very, very new still. And we're still at the point where people are getting a calorie count, for example, of eat 3,000 calories a day. You should have this many protein, this much of this, and this much of that. Now, there's your numbers. Eat what you want in those categories. Now, I can tell you over the years of doing this, some people are really good at that because they are naturally healthy. They know what good and what bad foods are. They don't have a lazy mind. But there's also those people that will go, okay, well, I'm supposed to have 120 calories of protein. Let's see, that means ground beef for six meals, and or let's say it's ground beef for five meals and a chicken breast for one, and I'm going to have some eggs. Now, you just created a terrible environment in your body. That's a terrible, terrible environment. You will not function well at the gym. Your body will become acidic and it will burn out too fast. Now, if you come to a professional, they might say, let's keep your acidity down by having two servings of salmon, two servings of turkey, and now if you want your ground beef, go ahead. You know, and it takes a professional to do that because it's all still new in MMA. You know, you can't just be given calories and say, go. You know, it doesn't – the people don't work that way. Some do. Most of them don't. You know, so as far as how I feel it's growing in MMA, I would say that for me, because we have the best jiu-jitsu people on the planet now, the best boxing people on the planet, judo, I'd say people really need to find the best strength and conditioning and nutritionist that they can possibly find. And with that being said – I would like to make something really clear, and that is, and this is really important for strength and conditioning coaches to understand, there is no such thing, no way a strength and conditioning coach can get you conditioned for an MMA fight. Now, what do I mean by that? If you don't wrestle and you don't box, you will not be conditioned enough by a strength and conditioning coach. Now, if you wrestle and you box and you do jiu-jitsu, the strength and conditioning coach is going to take what you're doing and we are going to improve on that. We're going to capitalize off that because I cannot make someone conditioned like a wrestler. I'm not down there grinding with them. You cannot mimic wrestling. But when they're doing it, I can capitalize off that and make them even better. If you're throwing 1,000 punches with your boxing coach, I can now make you better because you did that. But with what I do in strength and conditioning, I don't make you throw 1,000 punches. And if I'm the one that makes you throw 1,000 punches and you didn't go to the boxing coach, you are officially behind schedule. You are not going to be conditioned enough. So they have to be doing all aspects of MMA for a strength and conditioning coach to really get them in great shape. I mean, they need to know that. And if you have a strength and conditioning coach that says, I can make you as conditioned as a wrestler, they're wrong. They cannot do that. You must wrestle to have wrestling conditioning. And that's a big one I really hope everybody understands.
I'm glad you clarify that. You know, There's a lot of questions, like I said, that run through my mind consistently. I don't write a question down, so it's like I'm battling with 20 questions coming out of my head at one time. And you know, I think that's the best way to do a show. I think it's true, it's real, it brings things up front. You know, there's a situation that transpired maybe a year and a half ago, and I got to break that story. And it has to deal with a fighter that is under your guidelines now, and that being Andrea KGB Lee. You know, She was set to fight in Invicta. She was the first time she ever went under the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and she was found to have a banned substance in her system. You know, and a lot of people went, oh, shit, she's on PED, she's on this. When in reality, you know, the male aspect of mixed martial arts is in its infancy. So if you look at the women's aspect of it, it's truly just a premature thought. And a lot of situations have arose since women have been coming into the sport. Now, the situation with Andrea KGB Lee was she happened to have her menstrual cycle. Now, when that happened, of course, she took some pills for water weight or whatever it may be. You know, how hard is it for you as a strength and conditioning coach and a nutritionist, moments, days before the fight, your fighter's body decides to go into that, you know, style, or I don't even know the correct way to put it, into her menstrual cycle, and all of a sudden you've got a fighter that has bloomed up another 3, 4, 5 pounds. What do you do, and how do you keep them from taking medication that is on the banned substance list, but yet get them ready for their weight?
Well, like I was saying earlier, this was before I had Andrea, and when we would have communicated that, she would have. It's funny. In my calendar, I have little red dots for when all the fighters' periods are, so I'm always kind of ready, you know. And it's so important to have that, you know. And if she would have called me a week before and said, "Crap, coach, I am about to start my period," there's a lot of natural things that are out there, such as ashwagandha root and different drops that people can take that are all natural, all herbal. They're not banned at all. That keeps inflammation down. And if a fighter is constantly taking their good fats, their good omegas, eating a lot of salmon, that good fat helps your body to not get inflamed and hold so much water and helps regulate the period more. So if she was to tell me that she might be having this problem, we would have fixed it before it happened so that she didn't have to go through that. But communication is everything, everything.
Well, like I said, it's, you know, women's MMA is a, well, I don't like to even say women's MMA because I fought so hard to get the W removed, because I believe anybody that steps up in the cage is a true warrior. But, you know, these different aspects do come to the forefront, and, you know, it's trial by error in these days because it's all new. And, you know, with each and every, you know, commission being different, you know, I think it's best if you just go by the guidelines of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and run that route. You know, when I ran that I was going to be doing this show, I was hit with a complexity of questions. You know, sometimes it's they're good questions. Sometimes my guests don't like to answer them, but I give each and every one of my guests the right not to answer it. But, you know, I was hit with a question that I was defined in my heart that, should I ask him this or should I not? You know, when the perception of what it came about with Aspen Ladd, July 29th, you know, with the, you know, what was reported as food poisoning and things of this nature, you know, what does one do to try to repair such a situation before they deem the fight or not possible and continuing on in the fight? Or was this situation just something totally out of your hands as a strength and conditioning coach and nutritionist?
It was totally out of my hands. She dropped to 135 instead of 136, and she did that because she was able to do it. It wasn't about that. It was just, honest to God, and I hate to use this word, I hate it when people use it on me, but it was a fluke. She ate something she shouldn't have ate, you know, and Aspen is got to be the toughest woman I've ever met in the history of my life. So if she can't fight, she can't, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
and she only needed to drop 4.5 pounds in water. And so it wasn't that much water. It was just she ate at the wrong place, man. That's all I can say. And I've been writing up this list lately of stuff I want everybody to freeze and take with them on the plane. I don't want you guys going out anymore, you know. I want everybody to have this list if I could.
Yeah, you know, how hard is that on somebody and on the team when, you know, a situation like this arises? Because, I mean, you guys put so much work, you know, and into an individual. I mean, I've watched Aspen's career from start to where it's at now, and she's a tremendous individual and a tremendous warrior. You know, it had to be heart-wrenching for you as a coach to be able to, you know, sit back and watch this play out. How hard is it for you guys when you put that much work into a camp for you know, food poisoning or whatever to arise?
You know, Don, you know, I don't like playing favorites. I hate to do that. But if anybody knows me, Aspen's my girl. You know, that's my girl, man. And she means so much to me, you know. And it has absolutely actually nothing to do with MMA. She's like my kid. You know, I look to her like she's my daughter. I really do. So, and I know all of us coaches do as well. Not Jim. Jim thinks a little differently when he sees her. But, you know, when that happened, I wasn't there. I was here, and I was getting my phone calls here. And I was mess. I was destroyed. You know, and I automatically go, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? You know, did I do something wrong? You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and when I found out it was food poisoning, that didn't make me feel any better. You know, and all that makes me do is start writing lists that this is what I want you to start doing. Instead of going out and getting food, we're going to freeze our food, pack it, and make sure we have a fridge and an oven when we get to the room. And we're going to bring our own food from now on. You know, that's what I hope all fighters start doing.
Well, you know, you look at the sport. When you look at the sport, meal prep is becoming a very pertinent issue in this sport. You know, some of the greatest legends in this sport that are still fighting to this day that I deal with on the show, that's all they do is meal prep. They do their own food. They have, you know, it may either made for them or they do it at home or whatever, but they do 30 days at a time. And I think that's the best way to correlate and stay away from these types of issues. You know,
sure.
Doug,
sure.
You've been in this business for 30 years. You know, you've helped many, many athletes in all ways, shape, and form. When you look back at what you've created and what you're still creating as your name is being, you know, propelled in the forefront as one of the leading individuals in this aspect, when you look over your shoulder, what would you say is the most sentimental thought to you as you move forward?
I don't understand the question. What do you mean sentimental thought?
What is the nearest and dearest, you know, thought to you in your heart as a coach, as a strength and conditioning coach, a nutritionist, for what you've done in the past with all these warriors? What is your greatest takeaway from that, and how do you propel that into the future?
Oh, boy. Okay, now you're trying to get deep. I hate it when you do that. Okay. Don, we've only got to talk to each other a few times, you know, but I feel like we've been closer and closer every time we talk, and you and I have opened up to each other a few times. And to get to know me, I'm a very spiritual person, and every morning – I write spiritual quotes on a different Instagram page, and that's who I am. I don't do MMA because people hit each other and they grapple. I do it for the people. I do it for the humans, just like I do with baseball and football. I do it for the human beings, you know. I hope that one day people will understand what I'm trying to do, even though I'm still the new guy. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm not the most popular guy because he's been with UFC fighters for a while, and I know there's another guy, I can't even think of their names. That's not me, and I don't give a shit if it ever is me. But what I want people to do is to understand what nutrition is. at least get the basics. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example of something. Here's just a little example of something. This is what I want people to take with them. Did you know that for every gram of water, there's 2.7 grams of carbs that you're gonna that you have to absorb? I mean, most average people need about 280 to 400 grams of carbs a day just to be active and function. It takes about 100 grams of carbs a day just to make your brain function, your blood cells run properly. You know, but if you eat all those calories and carbs every day and you don't do anything, you'll get fat. Now, when you have a nutritionist that's taking care of you, this is where it gets personal. Are you going to do something with this food, or are you going to go smoke and play video games all day? You know, what kind of fighter are you going to be? Is this your job, or is this something that you want to do because it's kind of cool? You know, and I want to work with the people that want to be the pinnacle of what they do, period. I mean, and then there's little things like, I'll give you an example. There's ATP. It's called adenosine triphosphate. Now, imagine the number 8. You're making a number 8 with your hand, and you keep making that number 8, and you make an infinity sign or a number 8. When you eat your food, you create ATP, adenosine triphosphate. When you burn off a phosphate, it becomes a diphosphate. And I know this is very nerdy, but if you're eating your food, eating healthy food, that ATP goes from ADP back to ATP. It's constantly going infinity, and it never stops. Now, if you eat like shit, you're going to ruin your rhythm of that ATP. You won't have your natural energetic rhythm. So when people tell me, Coach, I know, but I want to go eat this, I want to go eat that, I have to go, all right, man, you go right ahead. But you told me you wanted to function at a higher level, you know, because however you eat is how you're going to practice. You can't come to practice and say, man, I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I'm not feeling it today. Well, tell me how you ate. Well, I ate exactly what you told me to eat, Coach. No, but really, tell me what you ate. Well, I ate what you wanted me to eat. I just missed 2 meals. Well, okay, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, you missing two meals is almost 1,600 calories. You know, so you're going to burn through that in what, two hours? You know, and you've been here what, 6? You know, so it's just those little things. You know, I want people to take nutrition and take it as serious as they do when they're fighting. There's very, very few fighters, I think, that actually take nutrition serious. And the ones that do are on top. They are. Because you can't expect to perform at a higher level. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one thing that perplexes me is, you know, most people, they don't even come to the assumption that when they have that one can of soda that, in theory, they think it's just the soda, but in reality, it's a cup and a half of sugar. And
it is.
You know, with me being a diabetic, you know, I learned, you know, 17 years ago that, you know, that thing that you enjoy, that little, you know, 3-4 minute drink that you enjoy, is actually killing you. One thing that I love on the nutrition side, and I've had to take this away because of where my body's at, only having a third of my stomach, you know, compared to what I was born with, and a shorter intestine and things of that nature. You know, you sit back and you realize what foods can harm you and what foods can really hurt you. And, you know, they say, oh, well, you can drink diet soda. Well, you jump to the diet soda side. Yeah, you're doing away with a cup and a half of sugar that is in the regular soda. But then you jump into just as equal and devastating amounts of chemicals that are in the aspect of diet soda. So what do you do with a fighter that has a pertinent sweet tooth, a fighter that likes to drink his energy drinks, a fighter that likes to drink those soda pops? How do you define to them, you know, that this is something that has to be taken away from the diet?
Yeah. You know, again, communication is everything to me. And, you know, I ran into that problem 4 years ago when I first started with MMA Gold, you know, and I was the new guy and on the team, and I kind of approached it wrong. I was a little bit aggressive. But now the way that I deal with them is that I just tell them, I go, here's your program. Tell me how well you're going to do this. Are you going to do it all the way? Are you still going to party? Are you still going to smoke? Are you still going to drink? Tell me what you're going to do. Well, every once in a while, Coach, I want to have a drink. Well, cool. I get it. Please do that. How often? Well, every weekend we go do this, that, and the other thing. Okay, cool. You know, I don't take those things from people until we're like maybe 6-7 weeks out from a fight. And we really have to turn it on. But for me, the most important thing to me, Don, is for people to realize that most of the stuff that we eat is not even food. It's not. Like you said, a soda. There is nothing in there that once it goes in our mouth that our body goes, oh, I know what that is. It doesn't. It does not recognize it because God didn't make your body to break that down. You know, so you're constantly and consistently destroying your cells and your body and creating this terrible acidic thing running through your system. You know, and it's so bad for you. So do I want to say you can't do that? No, I just ask my fighters at a certain time to just make it in moderation. But by this time, you stop. You become a machine. And the fighters, I usually don't have the problem with them. You know, I have fighters that they party, they get down all every day, you know, and but they know how to turn it off, and they know what I expect from them as well.
You know, you look at life, and I even look at myself. I've been in the sport a long time, and I've watched it transition. I've watched it change. You know, the aspect of strength and conditioning is becoming a more relevant, more pertinent part of the sport, as, you know, as well as the nutrition. You know, and I think people like you that, as you say, you know, get a little geeky or nerdy, you know, when you talk about it, are truly defining it as a necessity. You know, you take the wisdom of James Krause. You know, when a fighter comes to him and says, I want to fight, and he says, well, what kind of fighter do you want to be? And they look at him and they're confused. They don't know where to go. And he says, well, there's three types of fighters in my book. And so they'll ask him, well, what is that? He'll say, somebody who just wants to compete, somebody who cares, and somebody who wants to be a world champion. Now, which one do you want to be? Now, when you have a fighter that comes to you in that complexity, do you define it to them in that aspect? Do you want to just be a competitor? Do you want to be a warrior, or do you want to be a world champion? And then do you break down the strength and conditioning program to those guidelines?
I do it very differently for certain people. Like we got this amazing young wrestler on our team now. Her name's Kaylee Burge, and I think she's going to be an amazing 115er. And when I first got her in, I'd watched her. I always sit back and I watch everybody from a distance to see if they're really that good. And she was. She's really that good. And she was going to take on fights at 135. I think she did. And she goes, Coach, I want you to get me in shape. And I said, well, let's talk for a minute. I took her in the back, had her stripped down, checked her body out, checked her body fat, checked her LBM, her BMR, and all these different things. I said, okay, well, you're going to be burning approximately 1,720 calories a day just by sitting on your ass. So that means I need you to eat this many calories. Can you do that? No, I can't, Coach, because I can't afford food. Okay, we'll talk about that. Here's how you fix that. I told her how to fix that. Okay, I need you to be this much muscle on your body, and I need you to be able to do that, put on this amount of muscle by this time before your fight so that we can condition it. Can you do that? Yes, sir, I can. Can you come to me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday morning? Yes, sir, I can. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you going to give me as far as effort? Coach, I'm going to give you a 10. Are you sure you're going to give me a 10? Because if you're going to give me a 10, you're going to ask me to give you a 10 back. Yes, sir, I'm going to do that. And so far, she's given me a 10. So I break their bodies down, tell them what I expect them to be the very best that they can be. And if they say they want to be the very best they can be, they have me 110% as well. If they give me I've never been good at that, Coach. I don't know if I want to do this, and I don't know if I want to do that. And I go, okay, when can you come in? God, you know, I really haven't worked out that schedule yet. Look, go get that figured out. Come back to me when you're ready to talk. You know, because if you're not prepared to give me what you need to become better, I truthfully can't help you, and you're actually in my way because this person over here is ready to go. You know, I have 12 hours a day that I work every day, and I have an hour and a half for MMA, and that's it. So Are you here or are you not here? You know, Coach Jim always says, hey, we're going to work with the ones that are here, and the ones that aren't here, fuck them. You know, and it's kind of hard for me to have that attitude, but at the end of the day, if you show up, you got me. If you don't show up and you show up late, you don't got me at all. Definitely don't be late. I hate that.
Yeah, and especially bring your chum bucket. Bring your chum bucket. You know, as I've interviewed several fighters that have trained with you, and, you know I've taken this interview much longer than I had initially thought I would, but, you know, some of the questioning and the thoughts have been very profound. You know, when I look at the sport, like I said, it's something that is truly near and dear to me, and I love it with all my heart. You know, what does it mean to you, Coach Doug, to have people like Marion Renault, Max Griffin, Andre KGB Lee, and now others coming to you for guidance? They're seeing that what you're producing, they're seeing what you're capable of, they're seeing the ability that you have. What does it mean to you, after all these years in the sport, to have people coming to you and recognizing your ability?
It's not that I want to say I expected them to be here, but I did. I did expect to eventually work with the best, you know, and it's inevitable that I will work with some of the best, because I feel like I'm really good at my job if you'll just let me do it. And I feel they're really good at their job and they want the best nutrition, you know, and if I feel great about it, Don, you know, I want to create the best athletes in the world. But in order for me to do that, they have to have no ego, none. They need to realize that they have a boxing coach, that's his lane. A wrestling coach, that's his lane. A jits coach, that's his lane. A nutritionist, that's his lane. And your job is to absorb and kick ass. And it's hard sometimes to get people humble enough to not jump into your lane, you know, and that's kind of the struggle sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, you'll see my job is tough because of the reputation of all these different forms of nutrition. There's so many different kinds, you know, and if you look on Facebook, you see these guys talking on videos about the new way of nutrition. And it just cracks me up, because I don't care how new your nutrition is. The body only runs this way, period. This is how the body works. It didn't change because you made a new video. You know, and unfortunately, when people see these videos, Don, they go, oh, wow, look at that guy. He looks great. I'm going to do it like that because he looks that way. And it just kills me when I see these kinds of things. It makes me laugh. I do little snapshots of the guys talking, and I send them to Aspen all the time because Aspen thinks they look gay. But so for me – if I could just deliver this to everybody, let me tell you guys, I just want to tell the world about something about nutrition. Nutrition is simple when you make up your mind to do it all the way. It sucks if you kind of sort of do it. The ketogenic diet works, but it works if you do it all the way. And if your blood type is ready for it, if you don't have an acidic system, it works well. The carb cycling diet works, and it works all the way if you're really willing to raise your sugar levels up and raise your carb levels up and learn how to take them back down and learn how to use them. A high protein diet works. All these different diets work. These macro diets work great if you know what micronutrients are. They all work. There is no one better diet than the other. I have long distance runners that eat zero carbs and they're running 100 miles. Zero. And it's my job to show them how to do that and how to function off of fats. There's a lot of ways to do it, everybody, but you got to trust your nutritionist all the way, every single time. If not, we're kind of put into a corner sometimes where they are only kind of doing it, and now we're constantly trying to fix them. And that's the worst thing, and I know there's lots of nutritionists out there that can understand what I'm saying. We constantly feel like we have to fix people instead of make them better. And it's kind of our hiccup in our business. And I'm blessed enough to work with these beautiful fighters, man. All I get to do most of the time is make them better. I feel truly blessed. MMA Gold is just amazing. And then now we have the UFC Institute that with Clint, who takes them down there, and he's testing them and giving them all these great numbers, which is greatly going to help me out, man. I look forward to meeting him one day. You know, so it's just growing. It's just getting better. But if I could tell a fighter, man, put your ego away, trust your nutritionist, go to wrestling practice so that your trainer can make you even better at wrestling. Go to boxing class so that I can make your striking stamina better. You know, I cannot be a wrestling stamina guy. I cannot be a boxing stamina guy. Nobody can. It's impossible. You have to go and do that sport to get the stamina from that sport. I will show you how to get better stamina when you do it and show you how to eat right to do it as well. Now, finally, if you're going to be the kind of person that does a carbohydrate diet, like you're going to have this many carbs or this much protein, if you're going to have – or you're going to go and have this many calories and protein and this many calories and carbs, realize which ones you're eating. I mean, a lot of people don't know. If you eat an egg white, that egg white burns off in 15 minutes. If you eat a chicken breast, it burns off in 2 hours. If you eat lean ground beef, it burns off in 6 hours. What does that mean in your weight gain and weight loss? What kind of amino acids or vitamins are you getting out of that? When should you eat them? When you go to sleep or first thing in the morning? When around your fight should you have pasta? When around your fight should you have quinoa? You know, there's all these little things that a real nutritionist knows. So numbers aren't good enough. Just having like, these are my numbers I'm supposed to eat. That's great. That is the best head start you could possibly have. Now go to your nutritionist and ask them how it's done. So, again, we're getting all these things from the UFC Institute, and it's a blessing. Take it to the next level, your nutritionist. What does this mean in English? So, again, I rambled on again. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I usually don't do this, but I got a question from the green room, and so I'll ask this question, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. The question is, success is one thing, and creating change in an athlete is another. What are your thoughts on that analogy?
You're going to have to repeat that one.
If success is one thing, you know, in the sport, creating change in an athlete is another, basically through, you know, what you do in strength and conditioning and nutrition. You know, what do you take away from that analogy? If success is one thing and creating change in an athlete is another?
I'm a firm believer in constant growth in a healthy manner. You know, for me, if people are wondering, I want to be the guy that changes strength and conditioning and nutrition and MMA. And I've done that with a few fighters, with Aspen Ladd and Fluffy and Yaya and Max, you know, I want to see it evolve. It needs to evolve, and as there are certain people around the world that have, and that's what I want to see. I don't want to see people get better on Tuesday and not get better on Wednesday. I want to see people take and learn different angles of doing an armbar and practice it 1,000 times. But unfortunately, to a fighter, that's easy. They love hitting people. They love grappling. They love doing those things, but what they don't want to do is they don't want to eat the food you want them to eat. You know, and who does? Who does? But if you're going to be a professional athlete, you're also being a professional athlete by what you put in your mouth, by how much water you drink. That is the completion of being a professional athlete. So it's always important to evolve, evolve, evolve. My goal is to build a bigger, faster, stronger.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I have one more question. And, you know, I look at fighters like Sam Toomer. You know, he's a tremendous athlete. He's sitting at 11-1. You know, in my eyes, he's truly an aspect of MMA gold that is very relevant. He's ranked, I think, 7th globally. How hard is it to maintain, you know, a fighter like Sam Toomer nutritional-wise?
Well, Sam Toomer, I don't do Sam Toomer stuff. He has another guy he goes to that he just seems to mesh with them really well, and it seems like he's doing a great job. But when I look at him, he's always looks like he's maybe 8 pounds away from being ready to go.
Yes. Well, I was unaware of that. You know, I didn't know that scenario. My apologies. You know, Coach Doug, it truly was an honor to have you on the show. So I'm going to ask you to make a final closing statement to my fans. No, I hate saying that, my fans. My listeners, people who follow you on social media and follow you in the fight world, you know, let them know, in the words of Coach Doug, what strength and conditioning and nutrition truly means to you and how they could reach out to you.
More than anything, I'm a firm believer in always have a white belt mentality. Be the first one there and the last one to leave and pay attention to all the details. When it's 5 years later and you're the world champion, come in with your white belt. Every once in a while, go back to your high school wrestling coach and go roll around with him for a little while and stay humble. If you have a question, ask. Don't think you know better, because it's going to take you another 30 years before you know better. And when you think you know a lot, you're not old enough to know a lot yet. Put your pride aside and put your ego aside and let the coaches coach you. The best athletes I've ever worked with in my life, I never heard anything but the words, yes, sir. That's it. Yes, sir. I have regular moms and dads that all they ever say is yes, sir. And they get better and better every day. Put your ego away. Stop having so much pride. Put your white belt back on. Go visit your mom and give her respect and give thanks for all the abilities that you have. If you think you don't need jiu-jitsu, you're going to get tapped out. Start going to jits. If you think you don't know wrestle, if you don't need to wrestle, you will once you fight a wrestler. Start going to your boxing coach. Do all these damn things that you need to do so that when I get a hold of you, I can improve on it. And the only way for me to improve on it is if you're following the nutrition put you on and not doing half of it. You're a professional athlete. You have to do the hard thing too. And most of the time, the hard thing isn't going to practice. The hard thing is the food that you're eating when no one's looking. So that's what I want everybody to do. And I want to teach everybody how to do that. You know, it might sound like I'm rambling and I'm saying like there's a lot to do, but it's actually pretty simple if you'll just let me do my job. So that's all I really want to say.
I love that because, you know, I go back to thousands and thousands of interviews, and there was one tremendous interview that I had with a world-famous black belt being Tom DeBlass, and I asked him the question, What does it feel like, or what does it mean to you to be a black belt? And he says, Donnie, I'm not a black belt. And, you know, kind of caught me off guard. He says, I'm truly a white belt at heart. He says, if I classify myself as a black belt, then I'm at the top of my game. And when you're at the top of your game, there's nowhere to go. But if you maintain the heart and the will of a white belt, there's always room for growth. So I love that analogy
yep.
that you said. It truly
is
tremendous.
Maybe that's where I stole it from. Maybe that's where I stole it from, because I didn't make it up.
Yeah,
it's
profound.
More than anything, Don, I just, when you really care about fighters and athletes, all you really want to do is, it's almost like you want to protect them, you know, from, because they're already going to war anyway. And the ones I can protect and the ones I can help make better, I will. But I've gotten to a place also with the ones that kind of do and kind of don't listen, I've learned to let them go too. You know, and I know that eventually they're going to come knocking on my door anyway, you know. And, you know, and I feel truly blessed. I mean, for being in this for such a short time, I've got to meet you. I've got to be on your show. You know, and I've got to travel to Invicta and UFC fights and work with these amazing people, and it's just going to get better, you know. And eventually I'm going to be down there. I'm going to run into you, and we're going to party together and not know where we're waking up at, and we're just going to have a good time, you know. You know, and that's what I want to do. I just want to have fun in this, man.
And it sounds like you truly are. You've truly set the bar. Your name is out there more and more. You're making changes, and it's truly leaving profound impacts. I mean, I'm all the way out here in the Midwest, and I'm hearing your name. So that's a big difference when it comes to athletes. You know, they trust few, and if you're one that they're they're working with and sharing your name, then you know what you're doing is right. On that note, my brother, I truly want to thank you for coming on the show today. And, you know, you call it geeking out. I call it sharing knowledge, you know, and it's actually humbling to be able to do these types of shows and to be able to share certain aspects of the sport that not very many people get to hear or are willing to talk about. As you know, I feel that the sport should be shared equally, as if it wasn't for each and every part of it, there truly wouldn't be a sport. And I believe strength and conditioning and nutrition is a key and essential role in the making of the sport. With that being said, my friend, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Coach Ted.
More than anything, thanks to my mom, who I don't get to talk to very often. You know, she's humbled me in life. You know, we had a very, very, not I want to say poor upbringing, but we didn't have much. And because of that, I got into personal training where you were only supposed to make $1,500 a month, and I've taken it to at least 50 times that because I wanted to make sure that I did something with my life. And I insisted on working with the best, and I will only work with the best. And when you say the best, sometimes they start off as beginners and you help them become the best. And, you know, thank you to my friends that I know that are listening to me. And I apologize to everybody if I ramble on, because it's hard for me not to talk about a million subjects at once because I get excited. And shout out to my fiance, Karen, who's, wow, she's everything to me. And to MMA Gold, Coach Jim, you're the man, brother. I love you. Aspen, I hate you. Yaya, love you. Fluffy, Max, Dylan, all my brothers out there. Grundy, Ryan, all the coaches, and all the opportunities. The UFC has been reaching out to us a lot lately, and I wish I could tell everybody what's getting ready to happen, but I can't, you know. But a lot of great things coming our way, man. And Coach and Mr. Don, I really appreciate you, brother, for taking the time for me.
Hey, you know, I live, eat, breathe this sport. This sport is who I am. You know, on this final note, I started this show with a thought of not ever making a penny off of it. I just wanted to give back to each and every aspect that has given me a tremendous life. And, you know, now that my show has gone into syndication, you know, I pushed the offer off several times, but, you know, it truly is given, instead of giving the fighters a voice, it's given them a roar. You know, with that being said, how can I deny going into syndication? It's something that was a must-be. You know, the show is grown as far as it could on that platform, and the fighters truly love the show. As you go to my page on Facebook, you know, each and every one of them leave comments, and when you got some of the best in the world saying it's the best show they've ever been on, I know what I'm doing is right. It's from the heart, and I'm truly honored you joined me today. It truly has been a blessing, Coach Doug.
Thank you, my friend. I always appreciate everything, man.
All right, man. We'll do this again shortly. You know, God bless you, bro, and you have a tremendous evening, and thank you once again for joining my show.
All right, big brother. You have a good night, man.
All right, you too. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Coach Doug Casebuyer from MMA Gold in Northern California, strength and conditioning and nutrition. You know, we kind of went deep on several different subjects, you know, as he called it, geeking out. You know, I thought the show was going to go a different direction. In certain aspects, it kind of did. Maybe it was a little bit too much of a knowledge overload for some people that are not truly into the sport as deep as we are. But I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the inner workings of MMA Gold. On that note, I want to thank you for joining me this Sunday afternoon. I want to wish each and every one of you a tremendous day. And you know what? I in my heart, I kind of feel I want to go out with this song, because Coach Doug, you know, talked about his mother. So we'll do that. But before we go, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Affliction, the 86ers.net, the United Way Merced. Without you, the show wouldn't be possible. On that note, here's a little bit of Tupac.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school,
scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man.